Earth Sky.
Welcome to Earth Sky 22, 22 minutes of science interviews and great music from Austin, Texas. I'm Jorge Salazar. This week, Sky Watchers delight with a crescent moon near planets. And a Maya expert reveals the truth about year 2012. Here's the scientist soundbite.
The Maya calendar, even though it was very complicated, in some ways very exotic and strange for us today, it's also a beautiful depiction of the structure of time.
That's archaeologist David Stewart. We'll have more with him later, but first, Science News of the Week with Michael Brennan and Emily Howard.
Astronomers have discovered a distant dwarf galaxy with an unusual shape. Galaxies are usually spiral-shaped, or elliptical, or irregularly shaped, but LEDA 074886 is none of these. The astronomers say it looks emerald cut, in other words, rectangular with the corners shaved off, as seen from our vantage point in space. Astronomers are speculating that a possible collision between two spiral galaxies might have caused this galaxy's strange shape.
The American Geophysical Union reported on March 20th that the historic city of Venice, Italy, famous for its canals, is continuing to sink. This is in contrast to previous studies indicating that Venice had stabilized. The city is also now known to be tilting slightly to the east. According to these scientists, Venice is sinking at a rate of about 2 millimeters per year. Meanwhile, sea level in the area is rising at about 2 millimeters per year as well.
The USGS reported a 7.4 magnitude earthquake in the region of Oaxaca in Mexico on March 20th. The epicenter was 200 miles, or 300 kilometers, south-southeast of Mexico City. The quake rattled resort towns in Mexico along the Pacific coast, including Acapulco. In Mexico City, residents rushed into the streets as the quake was occurring. 11 people were reported injured, and several hundred houses and buildings were damaged.
Fossils from two caves in southwestern China have revealed a previously unknown Stone Age people. The fossils are of a people of an unusual mix of archaic and modern anatomical features, and they're the youngest of their kind ever found in mainland East Asia. Scientists are calling them the Red Deer Cave people. Dated to just 14,500 to 11,500 years old, these people would have shared the landscape with modern-looking people at a time when China's earliest farming cultures were just beginning. Details of the discovery were published in the journal PLOS-1 in March. This has been News of the Week. I'm Emily Howard.
I'm Michael Brennan. Song of the Week is by the band Final Exam, and it's called Half Asleep.
Thank you.
We're Earth Sky. We interview the world's top scientists. The year 2012 is more than just a year to some. It has become a phenomenon. Doomsday prophecies supposedly originate from writings made by ancient Maya people who lived in what's now Mexico and Central America. Here to talk about what scientists know about year 2012 and the Maya is archaeologist David Stewart of the University of Texas at Austin. He specializes in the study of ancient Maya civilization with a research focus on the interpretation of art and the translation of hieroglyphic texts. His latest book is The Order of Days, The Maya World and the Truth About 2012. Dr. Stewart, welcome.
Thanks very much.
What is the Mayan calendar and where is it found?
Well, the Maya calendar is a rather complicated subject, but it's found among the ancient peoples that we call the Maya in southern Mexico and in Guatemala and Belize and parts of Honduras. And, you know, it was used by the ancient civilization of the Maya. There are parts of their timekeeping that have survived to this day among traditional communities. But basically, we're looking at a conception of time that's a bit different from our own. They had the concept of the day and of the year the way we do, but they put these things together in a way very different from what we do. Instead of having weeks and months and decades and centuries, they had different periods, different categorizations of time, different cycles. And some of the cycles were related to the natural world, even the human body, the period of human gestation of about 9 months led to the creation of a 260-day calendar, which they had, which is a bit different from what we have, right? They also had a period of about 20 years they called a katun, and 20 of those made up a baktun of about 400 years, and 20 of those made up a much bigger period still. So there was a lot of kind of nested cycles, and if you extended it far enough, you have a huge conception of time, which is much larger than anything we have.
What are the important facts that people should know about 2012 and the Mayan calendar?
I think the important thing about the year 2012 for people to understand is, first of all, that there is a date this year, in the year 2012, in late December, which will see the turn of a cycle. Okay, and this is a cycle we call a baktun, and a baktun occurs about every 400 years. So, you know, it's a significant time period. It's a significant point in the Maya calendar, in the ancient Maya calendar. Now, did the Maya ever say anything about this date? Did they ever predict anything? No, absolutely not. Despite what a lot of people say and claim, there's really no basis for any kind of concern or worry about the calendar ending or time ending or anything like that or any prophecies. The Maya calendar not only doesn't end, but it keeps going for eons and eons beyond 2012. This is something that not many people realize, but if you look at the real structure of the calendar, it's almost endless. It goes well beyond the end of our universe in our own kind of scientific cosmology.
So the Maya didn't view December 2012, specifically the winter solstice, as the end of time?
The winter solstice for 2012 was never really seen as the end of the calendar or the end of time. It's the end of one of these baktun periods. But we know that another one will come after it, and another one after that, and another one after that. The ancient records actually talk about dates in the future well beyond 2012. You know, so any idea that the Maya calendar is ending is misguided. It really comes from a misunderstanding of how Maya time works.
Many point to the Torchiguero Monument 6 artifact as the source for the 2012 prophecies. What do scientists know about it, and what does it really say?
The one place in all of ancient Maya literature where we see a reference to the date 2012 is on a stone monument from a place called Tortuguero in the state of Tabasco of Mexico. It's a site that no longer exists. It was destroyed about 30, 40 years ago. But this one monument is now in a museum in Mexico, and it has a record of the date coming up in December of 2012. It doesn't say much. It cites the date, but there's no real prophecy with it. And those of us who study Maya hieroglyphs have been debating some aspects of this over the past few years. And several years ago, I posted on the internet, it was an email, really, to a colleague, an analysis of this date. And I pointed it out and said that this was perhaps a prophecy about 2012. Well, this went all over the internet within a few months. It was all over the place. It turns out that we were probably wrong, or I was probably wrong, in seeing that section of the inscription as being about a prophecy. Okay, we now think that all that the ancient Maya were doing were projecting forward to make a point about time and about the calendar and the structure of their calendar, but they weren't making any kind of prophecy. They weren't predicting anything. So this just goes to show that, you know, no serious Maya scholar agrees that the Maya ever said anything about 2012. There's no prediction out there about it. And for that reason, no one should be concerned, no one should be worried, no one should believe anything about Maya predictions or prophecies about our world today. Every few years we seem to get all worked up about the end of times or the end of the world or something like that happening. It's tied into our culture and our environment and our anxieties. Ancient Maya had nothing to do with that. Their calendar was for their time. It was for their world, a world which, for the most part, is long gone. And I think for people today to claim that the ancient Maya had something to say about us is somewhat arrogant and not only misleading, but kind of self-centered. The anxiety is real, but to pin it on the Maya is really unfair.
You've been listening to Maya expert David Stewart. We're Earth Sky, a clear voice for science. We're Earth Sky, heard on over 1,200 stations worldwide, including Voice of America. Deborah Bird is here with news of the global night sky, a crescent moon near planets. Welcome, Deborah.
Hi, Jorge. Of course, we have all been astounded this past month at Venus and Jupiter in the west after sunset. And it's, you know, there are still people who are just now noticing them. Although, you know, to me, the peak of it was when they were side by side in the west, which was so cool. If you look for Venus and Jupiter now in the west after sunset, you're going to see Jupiter below Venus. But there's one more cool thing that's going to happen, and that is that the crescent moon is going to pass near them.
Awesome. So it's not too late. It's not too late to see Venus and Jupiter, Mars as well, and a crescent moon.
That's right. So the crescent moon will be coming back into view around March 24th. So March 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, you'll see that crescent moon in the western sky near Venus and Jupiter. And Venus is the brighter one on top of Jupiter. Jupiter's closer to the horizon, a little bit fainter, but there will be some very spectacular scenes in the night sky.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what tips can you give for people to look for these planets? People listening may have never seen a planet out there before, and this is a great time to see them. Venus and Jupiter, where are they?
Well, all you have to do is go outside after sunset. And so the sun goes down and it starts to get dark. And the first things that are going to pop into view are going to be Venus and Jupiter, because they're the brightest things up there. So if you've ever wished on a star, now you can wish on two stars. Of course, they're really planets, but that's okay. And they're very, very bright in the same direction as the sunset. So just stand facing the direction that the sun went down and you will definitely, definitely see them.
And talk about a lovely trio. The crescent moon comes into play as well.
That's right. And if you turn around, Jorge, you mentioned Mars. Earth went between the sun and Mars on March 3rd of this year. And really, the Mars opposition only happens every 2 years. So that's a big event, too. It's been kind of overlooked this month of March 2012 with all the excitement about Venus and Jupiter. But Mars is also still nearly at its brightest now. And if you stand looking at Venus and Jupiter in the west, you want to make a 180-degree turn, an about-face, face the eastern sky, and the brightest thing in that direction, kind of reddish in color, is the planet Mars.
And we here at Earth Sky are not the only people who are noticing these planets. People are coming to our Facebook page and telling us all about it as well.
Jorge, it's been so incredible over this past month because, of course, we use tools provided by Google, especially Google Analytics, to look at what's going on at earthsky.org on our website. And, of course, we have our Facebook page. In Google Analytics, they have this cool feature where you can see what's going on your website in real time. And every day in the month of March, we've been watching in real time as people first in Asia and then sweeping across Asia into the Middle East and Europe. And then there'll be sort of a lull as it goes across the Atlantic Ocean. And then people in the United States start to see these planets in the west after sunset. So every day you see on our website, bunch of people in Asia are looking, bunch of people in Europe are looking, bunch of people on the east coast of the U.S., and then you see it just sweep across the U.S. as darkness falls in these places. So we've been able to watch in Google Analytics and see that happen as people are coming to our website because looking for information about Venus and Jupiter. And we see the same thing on our Facebook page. It's so cool on our Facebook page, on Earth Sky's Facebook page, because people have been spontaneously posting photos of these beautiful planets in the west after sunset. And you'll see the same thing. You'll see them start to post in Asia, and then they start, you know, people from Europe will be posting, and then people in the U.S. start to post as the Earth spins and darkness falls. So it's been a super, super cool experience. And people on the Facebook page have actually been commenting about this, how cool it is that we all see the same sky.
I think it's great that people will just take a moment to take a picture and share with us on Facebook and tell us about it at earthsky.org.
Yeah, we love to see your sky pictures and we love to see your Earth pictures too. So show us what you've got.
Okay. Thanks, Deborah.
Thank you, Jorge.
Earth Sky's Deborah Bird. And we're Earth Sky, a clear voice for science. And that's our show. Thank you for joining us. This week's show was recorded at the Earth Sky Studios in Austin, Texas, the live music capital of the world. Our producer is Michael Brennan. Executive producers are Peter Zandan, Ryan Britton, and Deborah Bird. Special thanks this week to our musical contributors, Final Exam, Sleep Good, The Black and White Years, 100 Flowers, and Okote Soul Sounds. For more information on the science and the music you heard this week, visit our website at earthsky.org. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
There are too many artists, too much art, and not enough genius, I believe. Science is the art of the next stage. There are so many artists, too much heart, and not enough reason, I'm afraid. Silence is the song of the next stage. But what we don't know won't hurt us. What we don't know won't keep us up at night. What we don't know won't hurt us. But we don't know, but we don't know, but we don't. What you don't know won't hurt ya. What you don't know won't end it terrifying. What you don't know won't hurt ya. But you don't know, but you don't know, but you don't.